You're listening to Cards to the Moon, a podcast about trading cards from both a collector and investor perspective. We hope you'll stick around for the ride as we take a deep dive into the state of the hobby, share some hot takes, hopefully some useful advice and fun stories along the way. Hey guys, welcome back to Cards to the Moon. This is episode 197, and it is another Friday episode. My name is Clark from 5cardguys.com and 5cardguys on Instagram. With me co-hosting, as usual, is Hyung of Integrity Sports Cards and John, who is Trade You at Recess. All right, off the top today, let's talk about these Prism Monopoly basketball cards. They're back. And I remember it being a big deal when it was out last year. You know, it was kind of new and people were talking about it. And just to give you some reference in terms of what they're going for these days, a Steph Curry 2022 Prism Monopoly Black 1/1 graded a PSA 9 sold recently for about $8,500. Okay. Now, the big chase in this year's Prism Monopoly is, of course, Victor Wembanyama. And a green shimmer parallel graded a PSA 10 recently sold for $9,350. Okay, so there's your reference point. But the big news is that the 1/1 Victor Wembanyama Prism Monopoly, and there's a parallel called White Millionaire Shimmer, that was pulled from a $9 pack. Wow. And it's estimated to go for about $30,000. So that's a pretty good ROI if you were the one that ripped that pack open. So do you guys like the Prism Monopoly? And do you think it's worth the hype?
Man, this one's tough, but I guess it serves its purpose. I like seeing it in kind of like a different context, like Toys R Us, for instance, would be a retailer for something like this, like Prism Monopoly. It hits the demographics that might not be the same demographics as our Prism hobby basketball. So it gives an alternative, sure, in my opinion. Could it hold future value? That's the question. I think it somewhat can because of the class. You got Wemby as the chase. So I think there might be a demand for it. But as you can see, you know, the prices are a fraction of what Prism obviously goes for. So I think it kind of gives that price point of, you know, filling that void, I guess, from being unaffordable to the regular demographics to offering a kind of like a price point in between.
Yeah. What do you think, John?
You know what? I think in the long run, if Panini and Topps are listening and how we continue to complain about print runs, I do like the concept. If Monopoly is around and if there's, you know, like another parallel set like Toys R Us Prism, I don't, people dogging it at first, but I don't mind it as much if it means they print the OG less so that this can be the sort of retail for the kids or alternative sets, right? So if it means that they still print more, and clearly it's still probably just as popular because of how much people still want to rip. I think I'm on board with it, all these alternate sets, if it means they put a hold on the printing for the original Topps Chrome and Panini Prism, the original sets. I think if they limit the print run, I'm all on board with it. With that being said, I think we dogged on Monopoly a lot last year. This year, people are not dogging it on it as much. I think it's like just being widely accepted. So I'm okay with it. I actually do like the parallel designs. They do, as gimmicky as they are, I think they do look flashy and they do have like really, really good eye appeal. So from that, from an objective perspective, they do, it does look nice. But in terms of like spending 9,000 on a Wemby and then, you know, or potentially 30,000 or potentially 100,000, I don't know. Like, I think long-term, tread very carefully if you're out there pumping money into this. I'd much rather go for a lower version of the OG set, but you know, I don't see the long-term value in it, but I think it does serve its purpose.
Yeah, I think most collectors would agree with you. So, and it is part of a game. I think we forget that this, and I think I saw Lameem James post where it shows like a dad crying, and this is like this is when their kids actually play with their Monopoly Prism cards.
That's true.
Yeah, so it is part of a game, but as obviously collectors in this hobby, in this space, we see it differently. And there's certainly a lot of value. I mean, I can't see it sustaining itself, even the Wembies. Like right now, it's all based on hype.
Yeah.
And so I'm sure the prices will go down. But, you know, let's be honest. If we had a Target around, I'd buy a couple of blasters.
For sure.
Of the Monopoly Prism just to rip for fun, see what we get. All right. Let's go from one kind of crazy mania to another. And of course, the discussion of the day for our Friday episode. I want to talk about Connor Bedard, his Young Guns mania. Ever since the 2023-24 Upper Deck Series 2 set dropped this past week, we've seen some crazy early sales of Bedard's Young Guns rookie cards, including the base, which has sold anywhere from, I think the last sold price I saw was, it's down to 700, but initially it was going for about 1200.
That's crazy.
For the early reasons, for base Young Guns, right? And then we haven't even talked about the parallels that are out there now. You know, the deluxe parallel, which is numbered to 250. There's the exclusives, that's back, numbered to 100. And of course, the gold outburst, which is the one of one. And that's the card that Davin Adams has a $1 million bounty for. So that's still out there somewhere. But yeah, your thoughts on Bedard's Young Guns rookie card, this whole mania, and are you going to get a box to rip?
Yes, to the last question. If you could get your hands on one.
$300, yeah.
That's crazy.
It's a little steep, but I think one Bedard pull would be definitely worth it. And I think this is what keeps I think ripping alive. I know a lot of people, you know, say, oh, it ruins the hobby, blah, blah, blah. But I guarantee you if they're the ones pulling a, you know, $1,000 Young Gun Bedard and you could offload it and you know, make use of the profit there, you could do pretty well. So, but I think in general, obviously release, there's a lot of hype behind Bedard, but you got to remember, like John talks about, this is generational talent. And for me, it's like, if you do kind of like the comps, over the kind of similar type players, I think you'll get a better understanding of whether it's expensive or not expensive. There's obviously a lot of hype around it, but I think there's still a buying period right now based off who Connor Bedard is, that, you know, you could still potentially win because a lot of these guys are, you know, pulling it and they're cashing out early. And if, let's just say you do overpay at $700, and we all could agree that it's probably overpaying for a raw card, but you where do you view Connor Bedard? One, right? Do you view him as obviously, like maybe different than McDavid? Maybe potentially Sidney Crosby type player. And you could look at the extrapolation of where their Young Guns kind of fell, at least a PSA 10. So I think there's opportunities where, hey, these guys are offloading thinking that like what we're thinking about, the prices are going to drop. But then if I could pick up a pretty nice condition, you know, Young Guns of Bedard for a reasonable price and I do a $15, $20 grading, I'd probably get an upcharge on that somehow. But if I do that in the PSA 10s, you know, that's a pretty good ROI. And we got to remember, you know, based on McDavid's pop count of the Young Guns, I think it's like 2,500 or something. I expect a lot more than that. So that's another factor that I think might not hold like the previous Ovechkin Young Guns of going up to like $6,000-$7,000. So that's the peak potential that you have. And kind of somewhere in between that, I think a lot of people are thinking in the similar lines, like there's still a lot of opportunity with card with these Young Guns, even though the prices are insane to begin with, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Makes sense to me. Before John talks about what he thinks about the Connor Bedard Young Guns, you know, he's been on record. He's not so sure if he's like at the tier A level. I want to, you know, I always like to check back on him. Where do you put Bedard? You still sticking to your guns, thinking he's like, you know, 1B kind of player?
Yeah, I mean, I love watching him. He's exciting. I think he's up there, but I'm still not. Generational is like a very exclusive label, you know. And Crosby was a generational. Ovi was generational. McDavid certainly is. Bedard, maybe. But I kind of put Bedard in sort of like the McKinnon, Austin Matthews category. Like, he's right up there. He's right up there, 100-point seasons, 110, you know, 50 goals. But we'll see. We'll see.
That's pretty good, though.
No.
Yeah, quick question.
Do you think me, A++ superstar.
Mm-hmm. This is a off topic, but you mentioned Austin Matthews. Do you think Austin Matthews is not that type of player? Like, based on what he's doing right now, I mean, he's now performing killing to his kind of like
maybe I'm selling like him short, I don't know.
Yeah, like he's to me, he's like he might surpass Ovechkin like type player, right? So it's like, does Austin Matthews fall into that category as well, or potential, right? Yeah. And his, just for reference, his Young Guns is going for 1500 or so in a PSA 10. So
right.
So I guess it depends on how you view Connor Bedard.
Right. Yeah. So I think for pricing wise, that's how I view him. But I did say, remember when we did our Connor Bedard 1v1 last week or a couple of weeks ago? I did say that's how I view him. The rest of the hockey world, there's a huge contingent of people that think the moon of Connor Bedard. Clearly, like his Young Guns is. I mean, this chase in general for any Bedard card is insane. So I would say ultimately his card will fall in between McDavid, Austin Matthews, McKinnon, pricing wise. Mm. So if McDavid is $25,000-$3,000 and Austin Matthews is $2,000, you know, you're probably looking at Bedard at 2,500 PSA 10, something like that, right?
Mm. Yeah. Just to throw those numbers, I was checking while you were talking, and yeah, McDavid's PSA 10 Young Guns is about 3,300 now. Austin Matthews is half, about 1,600. Mm-hmm. Right. Nathan MacKinnon, if you're curious, 600.
Wow.
Ooh. PSA 10, and Sidney Crosby is about 2,300.
2,300.
And you know, pop counts vary, of course, so that factors in. But that's kind of your rough, numbers there.
And the pop count is where I think people need to be very mindful of as they're ripping. Like, when Hyung says there's opportunity, I think there is. Like early on, when you're ripping, while the hype is hot, either pulling him in, you know, multiple times, sending in for grading, quickly selling, or quickly selling raw, I think there's good opportunity. I think once we hit like the third or fourth week of this series two being out, you have to start being careful, right? I think that's when it starts to kind of cool off.
Yeah.
You know, you're still going to be paying like in Canadian dollars, like $375, $400 a box while the cards are starting to come down. The demand is kind of like waning a bit. Mm-hmm. That's where people have to start to, you know, you could start taking some L's. So I think people have to be mindful of that. And I mean, like Upper Deck, Panini, they're not stupid. These guys, they're businesses, right? Like the moment, you know, like the card hobby could be not doing well in 03, but LeBron's coming out. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, Panini or Topps Chrome is like printing to the moon, which they did, right?
Right.
And, you know, the hobby wasn't doing too well. And in 2015, look how many McDavid rookies are out of nowhere. They know even if you're out of the hobby, you will probably come back in just to try to get McDavid or Crosby.
Yeah.
Or any of these sort of like quote unquote generational players. So they're not stupid. Right. This Upper Deck Series 2, whichever Upper Deck other products come out, they're going to be printing it heavy for Bedard. So pop count is something to be very, very mindful of.
100% agree. And I think even within our sports card chat group, we're talking about, you know, how much are they printing exactly, right? Mm. And you know, like, just scroll on social media. I'm like, wow, everyone's hitting a freaking Bedard. It's like, how many are there?
They're out there.
You
see really the listings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's like a, you know, bunch sold already. You know, and it just keeps on growing, the number of hits, Bedard hits and number of those Bedard hits being sold. So yeah, just be mindful of that. And I agree with you too about, like, you know, when different stud players or generational players come out, these sports card manufacturers definitely know what they're doing, mm-hmm. right? And then, you know, it causes this frenzy too. And I think that's exactly what we're in right now. It's like people are seeing, especially in the day of social media, people are like, what, you know, it's going for how much? And just like seeing all these hits and you get FOMO. And even now I kind of really, I want to kind of buy one at $300. That's
yeah, something like, it might be like worth
that's
it.
Kind of reasonable.
Yeah. You hit a numbered one, they're going for crazy amounts right now. It's insane.
Yeah. Yeah. We just don't see all the ones that, you know, there's zero hits.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, freak. There's $300 down the, out the window. But yeah, so it's kind of like this frenzy is crazy. And I you know, it's got to die down at some point. Right.
Yeah.
But, and especially too, when the, you know, the bounty is gone. Like, how much will that impact right. hobby boxes going down? You know what I mean? Like,
right.
that's also why there's a big chase, too, because of the $1 million bounty, which is pretty crazy. Speaking of which, you know, in terms of buying a box and ripping, I don't know if you saw the, I think it was a Facebook post. I just want to briefly get your opinion on it. There seems to be some controversy and different people taking different sides, but this Facebook post was about a collector who bought a hobby box. He hit a Young Guns Bedard base, and then the card store offered him a free hobby box.
Oh, I saw that.
He traded it in. I heard about
yeah,
that.
And then he didn't hit on the second box, but the card store listed apparently for $1,000.
Right.
So some people are like, oh, that card store, you know, that's so shady. And then other people are like, the collector, you know, that's
should know. His
decision yeah. he made. Yeah. So where do you guys stand? It's an interesting debate.
I think both are at fault a bit, like kind of like, it's a clear thing that the dealer took full advantage of his ignorance. But at the same time, it's like, well, you got to be smarter than that. If you're ripping, you got to know what you're ripping. Why would you pay $300? Like, you got to know that the market price is where it's at or whatever it is, right? So it's kind of on, like, there has to be some onus on the person that sold it as well. Like, that's insanity. It's like, what's... Isn't that the chase? Like, you know what I mean? It's yeah. like, yeah. like, what are you cashing
in for?
What
are you hoping for exactly in the next box?
Like, yeah, it's like, did anybody
tell you? I hope to hit it again.
Yeah, unless you're going for a numbered Bedard, which is like playing Russian roulette at that point, right?
Oh, that's so, ridiculous. Yeah.
Yeah, like, there's no logic to it. So I'm like looking at it from that perspective. I'm like, you know what? Good. You deserve it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of people are with you, Hyun, on that. How about you, John?
Yeah, I think there's definitely fault on. I don't know who was the one selling. If it was somebody pretty young or a grown adult, but if I'm assuming it's a grown adult, hey, you're a grown adult. That's a decision you made. But it to me, it doesn't make any sense to do it just for a box and then to rip it. Like, what if you rip it and get another Bedard and you trade it in for another box and you get another Bedard? It's like playing against a casino. Eventually, you're just going to lose. Exactly. At least if you're gaining some cash on top, like it's like a box with an extra $200 on top. That makes more sense, right?
But if he did hit like a numbered Bedard, that's like $2,500 minimum or whatever.
Right.
It's a totally different story. He's
sure.
You know, then you can't blame.
He's going to trade that for two boxes and then.
Yeah.
Eventually he'll be back at zero.
Yeah, 100%. I agree with you guys. There's a responsibility on both sides. I feel like if the card store knew, that's kind of like crummy of them to offer it for that. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's just like really blatantly ripping the guy off, you know? And at the same time, the guy who took the offer could have easily checked his phone, checked comps on eBay real quick.
For sure.
So, you know. But, you know, I wouldn't do that as a card store. Like, why lose a customer that way? You know, that guy's not going to come back.
Right.
You know, and then other people that hear that story, if you're a local guy in that city or that community, that's kind of like, I wouldn't want to go to that card store either. That's, you know, how they treat, you know, their customers. So for me, it's not worth it for the card store to do it, but they're not 100% at fault there. All right. Well, you know, even the blasters. I was going to look at the blaster. I'm like, maybe I'll buy a blaster, but it's like 60, 70 bucks for a blaster for four packs.
That's crazy.
So I'm like, I don't know. Maybe I'll make for good content. I'll just bite the bullet and we'll see. But it's not cheap right now. So just a fair warning out there if you're looking to rip. All right, let's stop there for our Friday episode. Thanks again for listening and tuning in. We appreciate you guys. And if you like this episode and you haven't rated us yet on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever you listen to your podcasts, we appreciate it if you do that. And yeah, we'll have a brand new episode for you guys on Tuesday. See you then. Bye. Hey, thanks for listening to Cards to the Moon. We'd really appreciate you subscribing to our podcast wherever you listen to your podcasts. And you can also connect with each of us on Instagram at 5cardguys, or you can follow Hyung at Integrity Sports Cards, or John at TradeU at Recess. You can also check us out at 5cardguys.com. Thanks again, and hope to connect soon.